Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. This is the Utah Communications Authority Governing Board meeting for August 12th, 2026, 12:01. So we are behind. So thank you for joining us today remotely. I believe we're all participating remotely today. Let's quickly do a roll call. So when your name is called, if you would please speak up and get credit for being in attendance today. Lance Davenport. Kevin Van Tassel.
Here.
Clint Topham.
Here.
Randy Swalberg.
Here.
Craig Dearden.
Here.
Sean Guzman. Excuse. Scott Jenkins. Mara Brown?
Here.
Tammy Pearson? Lisa Kehoe?
Here.
TJ Brewer?
Chief Brady Cottom is sitting in for Chief Brewer. Chief Brewer's been deployed.
Okay.
And Brady Cottom is here.
Welcome, Brady. Brian Lowe?
I'm here.
Outstanding. Thank you again for joining us today. We're going to move to item number 3 on the agenda then, motion to approve minutes of May 13, 2026 meeting. Those were sent to us. Anyone wish to make a motion?
So I would I'll second Kevin's motion.
Thank you. So Kevin moved, Craig seconded that. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. Okay, thank you. Item number 4, general public comments. Let me get back to general public comments. Anyone joining us today from the general public that would like to speak up and be heard? Now would be a good time for that. Okay, we will then move to item number 5, building project update presented by Director Matthew. Tina, go ahead. You're muted.
Thank you. I'm going to just share my screen here. Are you guys seeing my screen?
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you. Let me just turn it into a presentation that'll work better. There you go. So for our building project update, we have continued to meet with our architects to address specific needs related to electrical, HVAC, utilities, and other topics. Additionally, on April 10th, UCA issued a request for statement of qualifications for a two-phase solicitation. We received 10 responses. At that point, the board's building subcommittee met and reviewed the respondents and advanced 5 vendors to phase 2. Phase 2 was treated as an RFP and included a price evaluation. Once we received the responses from the 5 vendors that were selected to move forward, the subcommittee met again and scored the proposals with the architect serving as an expert consultant per procurement code. And after scoring the proposals, R&O was selected, and the official recommendation to the board is to formally accept R&O as our CMGC. We do need a motion to approve accepting this recommendation of the building subcommittee and allow executive management to approve our entering into an agreement with R&O and to further authorize me, the director, to finalize negotiations and execute the agreement on terms consistent with the RFP, subject to legal review.
Okay.
Clint Topham will make that motion.
Terrific. Do we have a second?
Randy Swalberg will second.
Thank you, Randy. Any questions or comments related to the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. Thank you. Looks like you're good to go there.
Okay, great.
Anything more you'd like to say related to that before we move to item number 7, Tina?
No, I think, we're just, I appreciate the subcommittee's extra time, obviously, with the 10 responses and then additional 5. They've spent a lot of extra time on the process and then meeting with us. So just greatly appreciate their extra effort on that.
Yes, thank you. Item number 7, P25 update, Tina Matthew.
Hi. We just, for the most part, the system is stable and general maintenance and updates occur daily, whether on the system's back end, backhaul, or at the site level. We have had a couple of projects in place, so let's give you a quick update on those. Utah County, you guys have heard this time and time again that Utah County's rollout wasn't very smooth for them or for us. But as we reported over the last 19 months since cutover was complete, there have been a substantial number of changes and updates, mostly to the system and to the sites down there. As you know, we went through a large antenna replacement project. We had a software system update that addressed many of the issues that we had going on. And, then we just work daily to continue to update work on the tickets, perform maintenance, and look for other ways to make continuous improvements to the system. Specifically related to Utah County, we're working on potential changes to some of the site configurations. We've had a lot of feedback from the law enforcement agencies within Utah County, and we've spent a lot of time focusing on this county in particular. We've had specific visits from L3H personnel, many L3H personnel, multiple visits, and then some Motorola staff as well. Visits have included some ride-alongs, reprogramming, retuning radios, firmware updates, and then our focus has been on improving and updating the sites and altering site adjacency lists and looking for potential adjustments to current site locations and also site configuration. We will do everything we can, of course, throughout the state and continued to our commitment to ensure that the radio system that we have is continually improving and what everyone in the public safety land needs. But what we can't control are the end user radios, which we have found to have some problems, some tuning, some outdated firmware, some end of life radios that are in need of replacement. And we've also found a significant number, or I would say definitely a trend of poor installation of the vehicles, poor antenna placement, and misconfiguration of the installs. But we're continuing to work with Utah County. We've had a weekly meeting with law enforcement through the month of July. We've now switched that to a biweekly meeting. This is tomorrow is our first meeting of August, and we'll hold those until September through September. I think tomorrow we're going to be giving them an update on their site configuration and announcement of some potential new site locations, maybe moving a site or two to get to some better coverage in that county. The ISSI gateway between Utah, Nevada, and Arizona is still kind of in a holding pattern for testing. It will be until through September, when L3H releases a new firmware version. In the meantime, we'll be meeting with the agencies near King County to ensure that they understand the project and then the potential need for reprogramming on their L3H radios, depending on what version they have and what accessories they have. So we'll be having that meeting in the next couple of weeks with them, and then hopefully begin our testing phase in the King County area off of the Pipe Springs moccasin site that is in technically in Arizona sometime mid-September. With the fires in the state, you can imagine that, you know, we have not been free from significant concerns and outages at times because of power outages. And just want to start off by acknowledging the amazing work that the firefighters are doing to save our sites. We have yet to lose a site. We may have some very, very pink sites from all the retardant that's been dumped on them, but they've done an incredible job of continually saving our sites and helping us ensure that we can stay, keep our sites online. We have had several sites in danger of loss due to fires over the last couple months. Eagle Point in Beaver County. That site is currently offline intentionally because the entire ski resort was lost and in the fire, and then significant flooding did damage to the area to the degree that no one could get back in for a while. So because there isn't anyone up there and there's not a need for that site to save on the maintenance and the flights in for our crew to go in and change the oil every 7 days on the generator, we have worked with Beaver County and decided that we'll keep that site offline until that, you know, there's been enough clearing and repair and that there's actually a need up there. The Gilley site in Beaver has been at risk for loss. The Cedar Mountain Emery site in Millard County, Robbins Lake in Millard County is, we're currently watching the Wide Mouth 2 fire on that one. That's getting closer to our sites as of this morning. And then the Farnsworth Peak site in Tooele was at risk earlier this week. So we've deployed two of our mobile sites out to two different fires and staged another one at the Beaver County Sheriff's Office in a ready status for immediate deployment if needed. So it's been money well spent on getting those up to date, and our crew has done a great job in terms of working through the deployment of those with the new technology and, you know, constantly looking for ways that we can make improvements to ensure that the deployment of those is smoother and quicker. The last bullet point on the screen, the Motorola Radio Management Project, this has been going very, very well. As of last Friday, we've built a total of 31 boxes, 21 per cell and 10 loaner boxes. We used Wasatch County as our test site. And as always, they've been fantastic to work with. They have had 256 radios read into the system. If you recall, the first time a radio is introduced into the system, into the radio management system, it has to be read in. That takes just a couple of seconds per radio. So it's a quick plug-in. The system acknowledges the radio, basically reads it, takes down the serial number, the radio ID, the code plug information, the flash code version, the firmware version, and all of that. So within a couple of days, Wasatch County was able to read in 256 radios. It was very quick. It went very smoothly. We got, you know, positive feedback from them. And so now we're able to, now that we've got them, their radios in and categorized in the system, we can now begin to push updates, whether that's firmware or alias or new code plugs to those radios. On Monday, we will be heading to Utah County to meet with several law enforcement agencies to deliver boxes and complete training there. As I mentioned previously, this is a game changer for Motorola radio users. And for us, in terms of the time, it will save us in programming hours. And for the agencies in terms of the overtime that they would have to spend in bringing the radios in at a certain period of time. Also, having someone in their office be assigned to update firmware and things like that, they just are not going to have that, that person spending hours and hours and hours doing that. They can just have the officers plug their radios into these boxes and it will push those updates for them. And so this is going to be amazing for those users. Also, the ability for us to track radios, find duplicate IDs, validate code plugs, and, you know, notice agencies when we have a firmware update recommendation and things like that. And so it's a big deal. We're really excited about it. We've had a lot of agencies reach out, a lot of agencies purchasing radios. purchasing the boxes. I think that we're deploying some in at Clearfield. We've had some other agencies in Salt Lake County purchase boxes. I want to say Murray, but we've had a lot of response. We haven't put out like a newsletter out to the masses, but we will be doing that shortly now that we've got a lot of boxes that we've got the parts in and we're kind of underway and have done our test agency. So it's been a huge success, and appreciate the work that's been going into that. Go ahead. Sorry.
It appears to me when you report on Utah County, but most of the issues down there were self-imposed. Is that correct?
I would say that we definitely had some issues. I think especially at rollout, we had bad antennas. We had some construction flaws on the sites where we had bad connectors and things like that. I would say that we've improved the sites and replaced the antennas. And we've done we've done the firmware updates to the system. We do feel like the system is in good working order. They're still having some problems. I will say that we have seen some really, really aggressive roaming issues on some of their radios. We were able to replicate that on just one of our Motorola radios. The L3H radios are not doing that. We did finally find a radio that we own that did duplicate that manic roaming behavior on Monday. And so we've been working with the Motorola engineers trying to determine what settings or that we can change in the base of the radio settings, not necessarily in the code plug, but in the core elements of the radio to make that. I do think that there is an element that is related to their radios, and I do think there's an element that's related to their vehicle installs, and their antenna placements and things like that. We've had conversations. I've had a lot of conversations with chiefs and the sheriff. We've also had a lot of conversations with line level officers who are riding around, and we have had positive feedback from some of them. Some of those who we ridden along with, I personally went out on a ride along and for 3 hours with one of the agencies and did get some positive feedback, and that there are seeing improvements and things like that. I do know that there are agencies down there that have been really aggressive about tuning their radios, buying the antennas that they need to buy for their portables and things like that. And so I think those agencies will see greater improvements. But I think that the bottom line is that there are some radio issues. And I think though we can still improve some of the situation down there with some different site placement and maybe changing multiple sites into a simulcast site that will help with some of that, kind of turn it back into a little bit similar configuration on the old system. So.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for our expansion sites, great news, our Tucker site in Utah County up in Spanish Fork Canyon is online as of last Friday. This has been a big deal. It's taken us years to get on. You guys remember we had an agreement, and then we got voted against by the HOA down there. And anyway, went a different route, and we were able to get the site online. This site bridges the gap in the canyon and provides new coverage into Carbon County as well, over through the Schofield Reservoir area. I know Carbon County is very excited about the additional coverage they just got as well. The Blue Mountain site, Geyser Peak, Hanna, and Parker Mountain are all well underway and making good progress. We have not been able to finalize a location on the Birch Creek Monte Cristo site. We found some BLM land, but that was a no because of a specific species of bird up there, and we could not guarantee that we would not accidentally kill a bird. And so we are looking at some private land, and we're going to meet with the landowners, I think, in the next week. And then Navajo Mountain, we're making progress there. Arizona DPS has finishing their site. Their site should be installed or completed by the end of this month, and some installation of their gear next month. Bill and I met with them last Thursday and are meeting with them again in the next, within the next seven-ish days, 7 to 14 days, to talk about what it would be for us to co-locate, on their site. So there's that would be really huge if we could get on Navajo Mountain. It's a site that we wanted to get on for a long time, and it would mean a great deal to San Juan County and also King County. That would provide a substantial amount of coverage. If you remember, we built our Navajo clinic site because we weren't sure we were ever going to get on the Navajo Mountain site, but we built all of that, the building and that, on skids, so we can relocate it. If we are able to get into an agreement with Arizona DPS and get on Navajo Mountain, we would move our Navajo clinic site from the clinic to the mountainside and improve our coverage down there. This is just a picture of our Parker site. As you can see, they just completed the tower work. And this was as of early this last week. And then we have our BDA DAS microsite project still going. We just ordered about 5 of these units. As you know, we've completed our American Fork DAS. There's a possibility we might add one more box up in that canyon. We're still looking at that. I think that's probably going to be the way we go. But we are just waiting to receive the next set of gear. And then we'll be prioritizing the sites on this list and others that we've added that I have yet to add on here that we haven't confirmed yet. But this is exciting, again, because of how inexpensive it is to complete these sites versus kicking up an entire site. UDOT's been amazing to work with, and Utah County has been great to work with in utilizing their fiber up American Fork Canyon. So good partnerships with other public safety entities to make these sites happen. So, and that's it for my report on the radio project. Did we lose? Oh, there he is. Okay. Commissioner Davenport, you're on mute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for that excellent report, and just as impressive all that's being done. Just want to acknowledge the ongoing and past efforts to try to get things right. And it feels like, I was reading the minutes from last month, and one of the comments was the ongoing communication, which Sean talked about. It was important that you committed to keep the communication going back and forth. And it sounds like that. That's happening. And so we appreciate everybody's patience, but more importantly, the efforts that are being made to try to ensure it works as it should. Okay, so we're now to item number 8, report from the Public Safety Advisory Committee. Chief Cottom, if you're there, you have the floor.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and I just want to personally thank Tina for all the efforts, especially with these boxes. Like she said, they're a game changer, and thank all you for supporting this effort. I think these will really be a really key part of moving along with this system and getting everybody's radios properly updated. So thanks again for all the support from all of you and Tina and her hard work and her crew. So we have not met as a group with the, I think the July weather or July months, and everybody's busy and stuff. So TJ asked me to fill in today, but I don't currently have any updates or anything from our group other than, again, the boxes and the support that we've had. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for being with us today and for that to feedback. It's helpful. But appreciate all that you do, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next time when we're in Kanab, hopefully. Okay, item 9, report from the PSAP Advisory Committee, presented by Lisa. Lisa, you have the floor.
Thank you, and I echo Chief Cottom in our gratitude as well for the changes that have come, and we also haven't had a chance to meet. Haven't had the need just there yet, but we will. And so we'll have something else to discuss probably in the fall, but nothing to report this afternoon.
Okay, well, likewise to you. Thank you. Appreciate you being with us and for the work you do to help us move forward. So, all right. Item 10, Executive Director's Report. Director Matthew.
Hey. We've completed some in-house promotions based on the jobs that were submitted through the fiscal year 27 budget. We've also hired two people to replace some of the open positions that we have, and have made three additional offers to some RF techs. We are really excited about the candidates that we've been receiving, the qualifications, and just the quality talented people that have been applying and interested in working with our team. So we've been really excited about that. Excited to get some new people on and provide the help that our crews need. You know, it's interesting when people ask us how many employees we have. They're continually shocked when we tell them we have 41 people that manage this entire, you know, statewide system. So our team is, as we know, just super hardworking, and appreciate all their effort and their dedication. We've also started a cybersecurity project to review all of the aspects of our what we provide, and also, you know, our internal workings, just to ensure that we are where we need to be and can make any improvements. Chris has provided Danny, our IT manager, with some checklists of some recent cybersecurity audits that we are aware of other public entities, including the airport, Salt Lake City Airport. We want to go through and essentially audit ourselves and just make sure that we don't have any gaps. And so we've just started that project, and it's just something that we're trying to do to be proactive to make sure that we are in the position that we need to be in. We've hired the consultant for the radio phone console allocation study. We had a very quick preliminary meeting with them just for introductions, basically, a couple of days ago. We'll hold a kickoff meeting to establish expectations and then be setting up a meeting cadence that will also include the PSAP advisory committee members, so that they can make sure that we make sure that the end users are represented through the public safety or the PSAP advisory committee members. So we are looking forward to getting that done. We have a drop dead deadline for them of 135 days, which puts us into January for at the latest. So they've done some of these studies before, and so I think that they have some good background, and so we're looking forward to working with them on that. Quick reminder to all of you, most of you have submitted your hotel room reservation request to me. If you haven't, please submit it to me. The stakeholders event is going to be in Kanab. I can't stress that enough. I don't want anyone to show up in St. George, but October 21st and 22nd, we're looking forward to that. We've got Motorola coming, we've got Harris coming, and FirstNet has asked us to be on our agenda, as they are have $2 billion to spend throughout the country. We've had many, many meetings with them as to what our priorities are as a state, where we would like to see new sites, where we have, they've done a ton of research and can track where they have the most users and the least amount. You know, they've pinpointed a lot of tourist areas where they don't have great coverage. They've come to us and asked us our input on the coverage areas that they're looking at. And they'll be making some announcements at the meeting in October as to what their commitment is going to be to Utah and how many sites they will be adding. So that's great news. I met with them today with a person, and I'm having a loss of where she was from, what organization, but she's from Salt Lake County and was really stressing the need for a site and cell service up Mill Creek Canyon. So had a long conversation with FirstNet this morning and the Salt Lake County representative. Other than that, Chad Imlay from Miller County texted me right before the meeting started and said that he would not be able to jump on the meeting because of the fires, but wanted me to express his gratitude to the UCA team for their support and everything that they've needed through through the huge fire that they've been managing. So I appreciated that text, and the thanks to the team. We've had people out all night, in the middle of the night, deploying those STR trailers and that to light up extra site, extra coverage and stuff. And appreciated Chad asking me to acknowledge that in the meeting today. So other than that, that's all I have.
Thank you. Tina, appreciate your reports, all that you do. Any questions for Tina before we move to the final item here on the agenda, which would be my opportunity? Tina, can you, I know Sean was planning to retire. He is retired, I think, by now. Is that correct?
That is correct. He has retired.
Do we know anything about
him? But I keep him busy, believe me that. Believe me. So
there he is.
I jumped on.
Oh, nice. Well, welcome. I'm glad you did, because we'll give you credit for being with us. Thank you.
Good.
How is it?
It's an adjustment, but no, I've got plenty of things to keep me busy, believe me. So it's been great.
Well, we're happy for you. Congratulations. I hope the next phase of life is equally rewarding and successful as your past. So we hope we can keep you on this board. I don't know. We got to talk about that. You are represent League of Cities and Towns. Is that right?
That's correct. And I will tell you that I have one city under contract right now, and I will have another one in September under contract too. So I'll still be representing some cities, but
nice. Okay.
Yes, it's an interesting situation right now.
Okay. Well, best wishes to you. Thank you for being with us today. I just want to acknowledge once again what's just been said before, and I'll say it again. I feel so grateful for Tina and your UCA team. It is tremendous what's going on, and maybe small in numbers, but produce tremendous results, and we appreciate you so much. I appreciate and recognize and thank our board members for the time and attention that you give as well. But our UCA staff is second to none, truly. And I think it's always important to recognize our many public safety partners that we work with and serve. And I just appreciate hearing the flow of communication back and forth. That's how we're going to improve. And then finally, any other of our stakeholders and partners, this truly is a team effort. This is an important mission, public safety, a statewide mission. And the communications piece of it is critical. It's critical. So thank you to all. Appreciate your being here. Thank you for the reports and the work you're doing in your committees and within your areas of responsibility. So with that, let's see. I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
Lance?
So moved.
Well, before we do that.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Scott.
I just wanted to say, right now, our state's burning up. I am just amazed at what's happening out there. And then we had a little bit of a break, and I thought, well, okay, we're over it, and well, it's all started again. My good night. These poor towns out in middle Utah and southern Utah, I am amazed the amount of forest and all that's burning up down there. And, you look at the fact we don't have any wood harvesting off our forests anymore. And I think that plays a big part in this. Once these things start, you can't stop them. Anyway, I just thought we ought to mention that because, boy, right now they're using our equipment like crazy.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up too, because as I think about
this, what's happening now, it takes me back to my past and think about all of the people that are in harm's way right now trying to fight these fires and manage the situation. So we should be very mindful of those people that are out there on the front lines in very, very difficult circumstances.
Man, I see we lost a couple of pilots on that helicopter last week.
This is
tough.
It's a real thing. No, thank you for bringing that up.
You bet.
And we'll keep them in our forefront, in our minds, and in our thoughts and prayers.
My motion stands.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. Motion to adjourn, seconded?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 Meeting is adjourned. Thanks again, Tina, and to your staff.
Thank you, thanks for doing this meeting remote.
Worked really well.
Canam.
Yep.
Canam.
Canam.
Thank you, Tina.